Hey, this is day 21 of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And all the people said,
Amen.
That's right. So we are excited. Today is a great day. We're going to break the fast that we have been on after the services this morning. And so we want to encourage you, those of you that have participated in the water and juice fast this past week, there's some notes on the back of your message notes, just some encouragement about breaking the fast the right way. You got to use wisdom when your digestive system has been at rest for as long as it has. You got to use wisdom in doing that. And I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who has participated in some way. I would say the large majority of our church are participating in this time of fasting and prayer in some way, and a large part of you participated completely. So thank you so much. We have been praying every day for these 21 days, and I've just been so encouraged by the number of people who showed up every day to pray and to seek the Lord. I was telling our prayer team before the service began, there may not be another day in 2015 where we are more ready to receive from God than we are today. Amen. Because we are prayed up, we are seeking God, and we're believing God that today is going to be the breakthrough, that today God is going to answer prayer, that today God is going to move in a way that we'll never forget. That's the kind of expectation I have for this service. And so we flipped the service order around a little bit to leave a lot of time at the end for worship and ministry time. And so I want you to be ready and get ready for what God wants to do in your heart. How many are ready here today? All right, so let's get right into it here this morning. If you have a Bible, go to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 8 here again. But as we turn to that, let me encourage you that what God has done in your life these last 21 days, let's not let it end after today. Just because the 21-day fast is over, it doesn't mean that we're going to stop drawing closer to God or we're going to stop doing what we've been doing. Matter of fact, as I was praying earlier this week, I felt like I heard God say this phrase, that we should use this time as establishing a new normal in our lives. So we don't want to just go back to the way we were before, because what has happened is we've kind of supercharged our reading the Word of God in prayer. We've supercharged our commitment to worship. We've supercharged. We talked about drawing closer to God through prayer and fasting. And today we're going to talk about drawing closer to God through worship. But it takes about 21 days to create a new habit. Did you know that? And so many of you have created new habits. Let that become your new normal. Now, I am not talking about your new normal being continually fasting. That's not what I'm talking about. But now you've got another tool in your toolbox, in your walk with God, that you don't have to wait for me to call a corporate fast. But when you need direction from the Lord, when you need an answer from heaven, when you need to draw closer to God, guess what? You can set aside a day. You can set aside a few days. You can set aside maybe one meal a week or one day a week. We're just going to fast and pray and seek the Lord. How many know that's a great tool to draw closer to God and to hear God's voice? And so I want to encourage you, and I'll use this illustration here this morning. You know, let's say that this is where we were back at the beginning of January before we started. And now this is the level of our walk with God. And today, let's say, you know, we're up here, you know. Can I tell you, don't go back down, right? Stay up here and go forward with the new normal in your life. How many receive that today? Let that be your new normal in your life. Your commitment to prayer and fasting, your commitment to coming to the church and praying with us. I'd love to see an army of people that we've seen these last few weeks continue to help us pray on Tuesday mornings and Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings. Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. And how many know if we continually pray, we'll continually draw closer to God? I'm already preaching now, okay? If we commit to the Word of God in our quiet times and being much more intentional about spending time with God on a regular basis by ourselves, how do we know we're going to draw closer to God, not just in January, but throughout the rest of the year? And like we talked about last week, if we commit to the spiritual family and we commit to this body, and we say, you know what, I'm going to be here, I'm going to show up, I'm going to be part of what God's doing. You go to the growth track today and just put that into practice. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to draw closer to God. So I just want to challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit today, what is my new normal? What should my new normal be? And then go forward with that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. James chapter 4, verse 8, the scripture says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Would you say that with me? Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Now today, I want to focus in on this. If you want to draw closer to God, worship God. If you want to draw closer to God, worship God. Because one of the ways that God has given us to a door, for us to draw closer to the Lord is this area of worship. Now let's define worship before we get into it here today. Here's what worship is. Worship is our response to God's revelation of who He is and what He has done. Let me say that again. Worship is our response to God's revelation of who He is and what He has done. So worship is what we do in response to how God has revealed Himself to us, who He is, and what He has done. Now, God reveals Himself through creation, right? God reveals Himself through His Word. God reveals Himself through His Holy Spirit. So how God reveals Himself, how we respond to that, is worship. Now, we can respond a lot of different ways to God's revelation of who He is and what He's done for us. We can respond. The Scripture talks about a variety of responses to God in worship. We can sing, right? We can clap our hands, right? In response to the goodness of God. The Bible says we can shout. The Scripture says shout unto God with a voice of triumph, right? And we can dance. We can give in response to worship. We serve in response to who God is and what He's done. Come on, somebody. All of those are our responses to God in worship. And when we worship God, we draw close to Him. Our friend Tim Hawkins has put together a video, a little bit of a funny illustration of how funny people are in their responses to worship. So watch this.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know, anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying, you're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five, press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky touchdown. There you go, there's your big three.
All right. Hey, over the years, people have made a lot to do about styles of worship and responses to worship. But can I tell you that out of all of the responses to worship, God is looking at our hearts. that's the main thing. When it comes to worship, it's not all about the, well, that person's doing this and this person's doing that. Listen, it's about our hearts. Singing is what we do with our voices. Worship is what we do with our hearts. Clapping is what we do with our hands, but worship is what we do with our hearts. Dancing is what we do with our feet, but worship is what we do with our hearts. Amen? And so when it comes to worship, it's a heart response to what God has done and who He is. Amen? And so that's what we're talking about here today. Now, why does worship bring us closer to God, or how does worship bring us closer to God? Let me give you a few examples from Scripture. Number one, worship invites the presence of God. Worship invites the presence of God. God desires a personal relationship with each one of us, right? And one of the ways that we engage in a personal relationship with God is through worship. Now, let me illustrate this to you from the Old Testament. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 3, the scripture says, "You are holy, O you who dwell in the praises of Jerusalem." So the scripture says that God dwells in the praises of His people. Now, in Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with Christ, if you put your faith in Christ and the cross of Christ to save you, you are God's people. And so when we praise Him and when we worship Him, the Bible says God dwells there. That's why worship is huge. Worship is incredible, because when we do that, God says, "I will be right there." When He says, "Come close to God and I'll come close to you," one of the ways He's specifically talking about worshiping God, a heart response to who He is and what He has done. Now, this is illustrated fantastically in the Old Testament tabernacle. Now, there's a picture on the screen. Remember, we started January talking about follow that cloud, about the presence of God. There was a cloud over the tabernacle by day and a fire by night. So this was this roving church of 2 million people in the wilderness in the Old Testament. And so when the cloud got up to move, everybody moved, all right? When the cloud stayed, everybody stayed, because we got to follow that cloud. The presence of God was the most important thing about Him. And so it was very important. And you'll notice all of the tribes of Israel, how they were camped around. There's the next picture there that kind of points out how important this is, or how this works out when it comes to Scripture. Now, here again is another illustration. This is the tabernacle of Moses, okay? Now remember, inside this was the holy place and the most holy place. It's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and it's where the cloud directly was above this tabernacle. You see that? So where was the presence of God? Right there. Okay, everybody get that? So in the Old Testament, that's where the presence of God literally dwelled, the Shekinah glory of God. Now, I want you to notice how all of these tribes are surrounded, because there was a specific order, a specific way. Every time they'd set up camp, every time they'd break camp, you had to be in a certain place. I want you to notice over here, if you can see by my laser pointer, right here is the front door to the tabernacle, okay, into the courtyard to the tabernacle. So you had to go through that door right there. See that? I want you to notice the tribe that is right in front of the gate. What is that tribe? Call it out. Judah. So the tribe of Judah was always camped in front of the gate to the presence of God. Pastor, what's the big deal about that? Well, the word Judah means praise, or to praise. So God was clearly illustrating in the Old Testament that the key, the gate to my presence, is through praise. Come on, somebody. If any one of those folks wanted to go where God was, wanted to see the presence of God, experience the presence of God, you had to go through praise. Right? The scripture says in Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise." He was specifically referring to the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was God's illustration of how to worship Him, of how to come into His presence. Here, let me illustrate it to you real quickly. Here's the deal. Worship is the doorway to the presence of God. If you want to draw closer to God, if you want to be in God's presence, all you have to do is open the door. Right? How do I open the door? I worship God. I lift my voice, right? And I'm through the door. Here I go. Or if I, listen, I can be at church. I can be in my own quiet time. I can do wherever I'm at. When I begin to worship the Lord, and when I begin to honor God, and when I begin to be thankful for Him, I go from where I'm at, I go to where He is. Come on, somebody. It really is that simple. So many people, I think far too many Christians are like, well, I feel dry. I just don't feel the presence of God. You know, well, you know, whatever it is, you know, I don't sense the presence of God in my home, or I feel far from God. God says, here's a door. It's open every day, 24/7. Anytime you want, you can come into the presence of God with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise just by opening the door. How many know? I mean, this is the deal. Every time you begin to pray, you should begin with worship, right? When you have a quiet time at home, start with worship, right? Don't just go right into that prayer list and, God, I want this and, God, I want that. No, take some times and say, God, I thank you for who you are. God, I worship you for your grace in my life. Thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're reading the scripture, a lot of you are using the prayer books that we have available out in the hub. Every one of those scripture prayer models begin with who God has revealed Himself to be in that scripture, and you begin your prayer time by thanking God for who He is. Amen. I have this conversation with Pastor Tim Frisbee all the time, any worship leader we've ever had, and I always tell him this: listen, the goal of our time of worship here at our church is not to impress people. The goal is to get everybody to worship. So whatever song you have to sing different styles for different ages. Connect with everybody. Invite everybody into worship. Because if all you're doing is standing out there, watching everybody up here, this door will never be opened in our church. And can I tell you, there's far too many times you come to church and you're just watching and you're just kind of assessing, or maybe you're even judging. I don't know. But until you open your mouth, this door will never be open for our church. So I'm going to tell you what, open your mouth. Open your mouth and bless the living God. Honor the living God. Sing with all your heart. Clap your hands. Shout unto God. However you respond to the goodness of God and the good things that God has done for you, you will find yourself right into the presence of God, because He dwells in your praises. Somebody give God praise if you believe that's true. Here's the second reason worship is so important, because worship takes our focus off of our problems and puts our focus on God. Worship takes our focus off of our problems and puts our focus on God. There's another illustration in the Old Testament that is so powerful. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read about King Jehoshaphat, who is king over the people of God in Israel, and they are under attack by some very real enemy forces. Multiple kings are coming after Jehoshaphat. Here's what he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2. A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And so Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, so how many know when the enemy attacks you, and the enemy still does attack people, it's pretty normal to be afraid, to be scared, like this king was. But it's how we respond to it that makes all the difference, right? Here's how Jehoshaphat responded in verse 12. He prays to God, and here's what he says. We have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Jehoshaphat said, I could look around at all these armies that are facing us. We are outnumbered. We are dead meat. But God, I'm not going to look at them. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to focus on you rather than focusing on my enemy, rather than focusing on my problems, rather than focusing on everything that's going around me in the world. Come on, somebody. And when we focus on God, somehow, some way in worship, it begins to change our circumstances. Because we magnify God, we don't magnify our own selves. Come on, somebody. During these last 21 days, I have made a very intentional attempt to not listen to as much talk radio that I normally do or read as much newspapers and all the news. You know, I've still kept up a little bit, but just not near the level that I have been doing in the past. And I've replaced that time with a lot more time in the Word, a lot more time praying, a lot more time worshiping. And you know what I found? I found peace. I found a settledness in my spirit. You know, instead of being anxious all the time and just replicating the spirit of all those things in the world, I have found myself saying, you know what? The enemies of God are real, but God is big and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even imagine, right? When we focus on God, it invites the presence of God and it magnifies God more than our problems. Let's get right through this because I want to leave plenty of time for worship here today. Here's number three. Worship brings spiritual victory. When I worship God, it brings spiritual victory to me. Jehoshaphat, go back to his illustration, his enemies were not make-believe. Jehoshaphat's enemies were not playing games. This was a real army with real weapons, and lives were at stake. Listen, they were coming to kill them. They were coming to destroy them. And so, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, the scripture says, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. Now watch this. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were what? They were defeated. Now, I want to illustrate to you how Jehoshaphat, God spoke to Jehoshaphat after a time of fasting and prayer. How are you going to beat this enemy? How are you going to overcome these people that are trying to destroy you? And so after he's fasting and prayer, the word of the Lord was sent out to Jehoshaphat, don't send out your best soldiers. Don't send out, you know, the people who are your snipers or your best shooters. Don't send out the people who are strongest with the sword. Send out your worshipers. Send out your praisers. Send out the people who are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. And I want you to put yourself in Jehoshaphat's place. Really, God? That's what you want me to do. You want to slaughter these people first. That's what we would think in the natural. But this Old Testament story illustrates the power of worship. When we worship God, we've got to have faith that God is doing something in the heavenlies. That something is taking place and God is bringing to us spiritual victory. Let me be very clear. If Satan can keep your mouth shut, he can keep you defeated. If Satan can keep your heart quiet, he can keep you defeated, because the scripture makes it very clear here in Psalm 149, verse 6, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hand. There is something that happens to you and me when we begin to worship, not in the physical. I'm not talking about a physical sword. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm, where the scripture says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Why are marriages falling apart? Because they're under attack. The devil's attacking them. Why are people falling? Why are people in struggle? Why are they in bondage? Because there's a real war going on in people's lives, and it's being manifested in very real ways. So God says to us, I have given you a sword, and it's called worship. I have given you a weapon, a spiritual weapon, and it's called worship. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying every time I lift my voice and said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, I am just swinging that sword. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. When I say, blessed be the name of the Lord, for his love endures forever, I am swinging that sword. I am taking a swipe at darkness. Demons are fleeing. Come on, with this sword in my hand. When I sing, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, and everything that's within me, bless his holy name, I am taking that sword, and I am cutting up darkness. Because worship brings spiritual victory. Come on, give God praise if you believe that's true today. Today, I invite you to exchange your sword for a trumpet. I invite you to exchange your shield for a tambourine, your helmet for a song of praise, and right in the middle of your battle, worship God. Right in the middle of your struggle, bless the Lord. Right in the middle of your valley, open up your mouth and bless the Lord. And if you have to say like Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The presence of God is going to come to you. The glory of God will be in your life, and God will begin to fight on your behalf. I believe that with all of my heart. I want to challenge this church to come closer to God and worship. You know, I want to say this the right way with the right heart and no condemnation to anybody, but I would love to see, come closer to the front. Right? I always joke about our church that the back rows, those are the expensive seats. People come early to sit in the back. It's the exact opposite of everything else in the world. Right? You go early, you know, concert or this event, I gotta get there. You know, and people are fighting each other to sit up front. Wouldn't that be great if that were at church? I'm pressing in closer to God, and I know the distance from the platform has very little to do with your heart. I understand all of that, but I'm inviting you to come closer, especially the worshipers. Let's lead the way to victory every time we gather together. Come on, somebody. Let's lead the way to spiritual victory. Every time we have a worship service, we are gonna press in because God's given us a sword to give us victory. Somebody say amen. Amen. Last one, and then we're going to get ready. Actually, two more real quick. Number four, worship brings freedom. I mean, no, worship brings freedom. Amen. Now, we've already seen how this worked in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, because as a result of their worship, God gave them victory. The armies were defeated. But there's another illustration in Acts chapter 16 that's very powerful. Paul and Silas, we're ministering on God's behalf, and the Bible says they had laid many stripes on them, verse 23. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So here we have Paul and Silas, whose only sin, whose only crime was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they were just sharing the gospel of Jesus with people, and as a result, they were thrown into prison. Now, how many know, sometimes we are punished unjustly, right? There is injustice in the world. They had been tortured. They had been beaten with clubs. Maybe they had been kicked in the ribs. Perhaps one of their ribs were broken and it was difficult to breathe. Perhaps they were bleeding from the nose from the soldiers' fists who were pounding them in the face. We don't know, but if you get the picture here real quick, it's very easy to see. They were probably crying. They were hurting. Perhaps they could barely move. But I want you to see what they, and they were thrown into prison, and they were in stocks. They were bound up. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, here's their response. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Probably out of their pain. Probably very difficult to do so, but they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Oh, there's a whole sermon right there. Amen. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. And say this with me, everyone's chains were loosed. Say it again. Everyone's chains were loosed. When Paul and Silas began to sing, when they began to worship, out of their bondage, out of their shackles, the Bible says everyone's chains were loosed. I hope you get this here this morning, what I'm trying to tell you, because this really happened. This is not just a story. This really happened. Praising and worshiping God actually caused their chains to fall off as they were worshiping in their pain. As they were worshiping in their injustice. And how many know it's hard to worship God when stuff's not going right? It's hard to worship God when people are treating you unfairly. It's hard to worship God when the enemy is attacking you. But Paul and Silas show us the power of worship, that when I pray, God brings freedom for me. God brings deliverance for me. Now listen, as I was praying this week about this service, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying that this is some of us in our church. You know, that we are just bound up. You know, because of, I don't know, maybe you've been hurt in the past. Maybe something unjust happened to you. Perhaps you were wounded at a church somewhere. Maybe a pastor fell, I don't know, or something difficult, or somebody hurt you, or somebody abused you. In this life, Jesus said, you will have trouble. This is a broken world. This is a sin-filled world. And things happen, and people get hurt. But listen, as a result of those things, you've protected yourselves from others. You've distanced yourself from God. And you say, you know, when it comes to my relationship with God, I'm only going to go so far. And even when it comes to worship, your hands are tied. You're locked up. But can I tell you that as long as you stay quiet, your chains remain. Amen. Your bondage remains. But I believe that God sent many people here today to hear me tell you, say, that if you'll worship God today, if you'll open your heart today, if you'll lift your hands today, I believe with all of my heart for some of you, your chains are going to fall off. Hallelujah. And you will be delivered. And you will be set free. And yes, it'll hurt. And yes, it'll be painful. And yes, the tears will flow. But as you praise God out of your pain, and as you worship God out of your difficulty, God will do for you in the spiritual realm what he did for Paul and Silas in the physical realm. And he will bring your freedom, and everyone's chains will be loosed. How many know this is a whole lot more than just singing a song? I'm talking about worship. Let me bring you to this last one, and then we're going to worship God. Number five, worship brings healing. Worship brings healing. Psalm 147, verse 1, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Look at this verse. I want you to see it as clearly as I see it. That when we sing praises to our God, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. When we sing our praises to God, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. There is something amazing that happens when we worship. There is something amazing when we walk through that door. All of a sudden, everything that God is and all that God exhibits and all of the characteristics of God become prevalent in our lives. And one of God's names is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals you. Physically, spiritually, mentally, healing comes as I worship. I know this from experience. I know this from experience. About many years ago, Tracy and I were starting out in ministry. The first church that we served in, we were 21 years old. Within a few months, the pastor had confessed to having an affair. And so the whole church was just in an uproar. It was hurting. It was full of pain. Now, Tracy and I were the only people on staff, and we didn't even know enough to realize we should probably leave and leave it in the hands of, but we stayed, and we just helped, and we prayed, and we just helped bind up wounds, and that's one, I tell people in our first church, we learned how to pray and keep our mouths shut. Okay? But we walked through this church with this time of, it was an incredibly hard time, but God brought us through by his grace. They hired another pastor, and everything seemed great and all that kind of stuff, but it became very clear that there were some things that were wrong. There were some things that were just not right, and Tracy and I knew we're going to have to transition out of here, but we want to do it in the right way. We want to do it with the right heart, and so we did it the right way. We went to the pastor, and we said, here's what we're going to do. We feel like God's leading us, and so instead of giving us the opportunity to do that, he basically said, you got to go right now. And because of some insecurities and a lot of things that I don't have time to go in to talk to, but he began to be afraid of me that I was going to hurt him. And of course, in our hearts, I read Undercover from John Bevere. I'm not going to say a word against that guy. Are you hearing me? I'll never forget on the day we were supposed to stand up and read our resignation. The night before, he sends one of the board members to my house to inform me that I'm not welcome there at their church anymore. And when I need to go get clean my office out, there's going to be a representative from the church to be there to supervise me. Now, let me tell you something about these board members that I served with. These are the people that we walked through fire with just a year before. These were the people that we walked through hell with just a year before. And here they are at my house telling me, you can't come back. Now, I wish I could tell you I was more mature, but I tried to put my fist through a paneling wall. Can I tell you, that does not work. It hurt. I didn't sleep a wink that night. Just cried and cried. God, I don't understand. We've done everything the right way. We've responded in the right way, we believe. We sought out wisdom. We ask people who mature, show us how to do this. The next day, it was a Sunday, and kids are flooding our house. They're crying and they're weeping, and it was so hard. People are calling me, telling me all they're going to do, and they're going to give their tithe to me, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, don't do that. So one pastor friend called me and heard about what was going on. He said, hey, you just need to get out of your house. Just go. So we left. Well, Tim and Angie Davis, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they were youth pastoring about an hour away in Greencastle. So we kind of hid out there for a few days. It was a great time to not have a job because it was during March Madness. But I remember the first worship service I went into after all this had happened. It was a youth service. It was Tim and Angie's youth service. And as they began to worship, my hands, my arms felt like lead. I'm like, God, there is no way you expect me to enter in here today. Not after everything that's happened to me. God, there's just no way you can expect me to open my mouth. And I heard God say to me, if you will, I'll heal you. If you will, if you're open your mouth, it'll be hard. I'll take that pain, and I'll heal that pain. And I'll tell you what I did. I lifted my hands. Man, I didn't want to. Everything within me was so hard. But as I did, just tears began to flood my heart. And can I tell you, that was the beginning of my healing. Today, if you are here in this house and you're hurting, and maybe through no cause of your own, somebody did something to you, maybe physically or emotionally, there's just pain. Can I challenge you that when you worship, when you praise, and when you begin to go by faith and sing to the Lord, the Bible says he begins to heal the brokenhearted, because on the other side of that door is your healing. Is the presence of God and the grace of God. And if you will today, if you'll praise him, he'll begin the healing in your heart. If you'll lift your hands to heaven, even though they feel like rods of lead, if you'll by faith respond to God, who he is and what he's done, I believe the heavens will begin to open and God will begin to pour out that balm of Gilead, that salve of his spirit, that healing river of God's grace into your life. There's more pain in this room than any of us know. There's more hurt in this room than any of us know. Can I tell you, your healing, your hospital is the presence of God. So let's worship. Let's worship today. Let's sing to the Lord. And let's be what Psalm 34 verse 1 says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Say it with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Say it again. I will bless the Lord at all times. In the good times. In the hard times, in the times that I'm blessed, in the times that I'm struggling, in the times that I'm hurt, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, because nothing's going to keep me on this side of that door. I can't help myself on this side of that door. I got to get on the other side of that door. So I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise. I'm going to go right through Judah and I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to sing to the Lord. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to worship God. Come on, somebody, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me blesses his holy name.